Chapter 32. Horses might be driven up. Within it is a great saloon, faded and tarnished in its stately decorations, and moldering by grains, but recording yet, in pictures on its walls, the triumphs of the Medici and the wars of the old Florentine people. The prison is hard by, in an adjacent courtyard of the building, a foul and dismal place, where some men are shut up close, in small cells like ovens, and where others look through bars and beg, where some are playing draughts, and some are talking to their friends, who smoke, the while, to purify the air, and some are buying wine and fruit of women vendors, and all are squalid, dirty, and vile to look at. They are merry enough, signor, apostrophe says the jailer. They are all blood-stained here, apostrophe he adds, indicating, with his hand, three-fourths of the whole building. Before the hour is out, an old man, 80 years of age, quarreling over a bargain with a young girl of 17, stabs her dead, in the marketplace full of bright flowers, and is brought in prisoner, to swell the number. Among the four old bridges that span the river, the Ponte Vecchio, that bridge which is covered with the shops of jewelers and goldsmiths, is a most enchanting feature in the scene. The space of one house, in the center, being left open, the view beyond is shown as in a frame, and that precious glimpse of sky, and water, and rich buildings, shining so quietly among the huddled roofs and gables on the bridge, is exquisite. Above it, the gallery of the Grand Duke crosses the river. It was built to connect the two great palaces by a secret passage, and it takes its jealous course among the streets and houses, with true despotism. Going where it lists, and spurning every obstacle away, before it. The Grand Duke has a worthier secret passage through the streets, in his black robe and hood, as a member of the Compagnia della Misericordia, which brotherhood includes all ranks of men. If an accident take place, their office is to raise the sufferer, and bear him tenderly to the hospital. If a fire break out, it is one of their functions to repair to the spot, and render their assistance and protection. It is, also, among their commonest offices, to attend and console the sick, and they neither receive money, nor eat, nor drink, in any house they visit for this purpose. Those who are on duty for the time are all called together, on a moment's notice, by the tolling of the great bell of the tower, and it is said that the Grand Duke has been seen, at this sound, to rise from his seat at table, and quietly withdraw to attend the summons. In this other large piazza, where an irregular kind of market is held, and stores of old iron and other small merchandise are set out on stalls, or scattered on the pavement, are grouped together, the cathedral with its great dome, the beautiful Italian Gothic tower, the campanile, and the baptistery with its wrought bronze doors. And here, a small untrodden square in the pavement, is the stone of Dante, apostrophe where, so runs the story, he was used to bring his stool, and sit in contemplation. I wonder was he ever, in his bitter exile, withheld from cursing the very stones in the streets of Florence the ungrateful, by any kind remembrance of this old musing place, and its association with gentle thoughts of little Beatrice. The Chapel of the Medici, the Good and Bad Angels, of Florence, the Church of Santa Croce, where Michelangelo lies buried, and where every stone in the cloisters is eloquent on great men's deaths, innumerable churches, often masses of unfinished heavy brickwork externally, but solemn and serene within, arrest our lingering steps, in strolling through the city. In keeping with the tombs among the cloisters, is the Museum of Natural History, famous through the world for its preparations in wax, beginning with models of leaves, seeds, plants, inferior animals, and gradually ascending, through separate organs of the human frame, up to the whole structure of that wonderful creation, exquisitely presented, as in recent death. Few admonitions of our frail mortality can be more solemn and more sad, or strike so home upon the heart, as the counterfeits of youth and beauty, that are lying there, upon their beds, in their last sleep. Beyond the walls, the whole sweet valley of the Arno, the convent at Fiesole, the tower of Galileo, Boccaccio's house, old villas and retreats, innumerable spots of interest, all glowing in a landscape of surpassing beauty steeped in the richest light, are spread before us. Returning from so much brightness, how solemn and how grand the streets again, with their great, dark, mournful palaces, and many legends. Not of siege, and war, and might, and iron hand alone, but of the triumphant growth of peaceful arts and sciences. What light is shed upon the world, at this day, from amidst these rugged palaces of Florence? Here, open to all comers, in their beautiful and calm retreats, the ancient sculptors are immortal, side by side with Michelangelo, Canova, Titian, Rembrandt, Raphael, poets, historians, philosophers, those illustrious men of history, beside whom its crowned heads and harnessed warriors show so poor and small, and are so soon forgotten. Here, the imperishable part of noble mind survives, blessed and equal, when strongholds of assault and defense are overthrown, when the tyranny of the many, or the few, or both, is but a tale, when pride and power are so much cloistered dust. The fire within the stern streets, and among the massive palaces and towers, kindled by rays from heaven, is still burning brightly, when the flickering of war is extinguished, and the household fires of generations have decayed, as thousands upon thousands of faces, rigid with the strife and passion of the hour, have faded out of the old squares and public haunts, while the nameless Florentine lady, preserved from oblivion by a painter's hand, yet lives on, in enduring grace and youth. Let us look back on Florence while we may, and when its shining dome is seen no more, go traveling through cheerful Tuscany, with a bright remembrance of it. For Italy will be the fairer for the recollection. The summer time being come, and Genoa, and Milan, and the Lake of Como lying far behind us, and we resting at Fado, a Swiss village, near the awful rocks and mountains, the everlasting snows and roaring cataracts, of the great Saint Gothard, hearing the Italian tongue for the last time on this journey. Let us part from Italy, with all its miseries and wrongs, affectionately, in our admiration of the beauties, natural and artificial, of which it is full to overflowing, and in our tenderness towards a people, naturally well-disposed, and patient, and sweet-tempered. Years of neglect, oppression, and misrule, have been at work, to change their nature and reduce their spirit. Miserable jealousies, fomented by petty princes to whom union was destruction, and division strength, have been a canker at their root of nationality, and have barbarized their language. But the good, that was in them ever, is in them yet, and a noble people may be, one day, raised up from these ashes. Let us entertain that hope. And let us not remember Italy the less regardfully, because, in every fragment of her fallen temples, and every stone of her deserted palaces and prisons, she helps to inculcate the lesson, that the wheel of time is rolling for an end, and that the world is, in all great essentials, better, gentler, more forbearing, and more hopeful, as it rolls. Footnotes. 1. This was written in 1846. 2. A far more liberal and just recognition of the public has arisen in Westminster Abbey since this was written. Asterisk 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 end of the Project Gutenberg ebook. Pictures from Italy asterisk asterisk asterisk. This file should be named PICIT10. TXT or PICIT10. Zip corrected editions of our ebooks. Get a new number. PICIT11. TXT versions based on separate sources get new letter, PICIT10ATXT. Project Gutenberg ebooks are often created from several printed editions, all of which are confirmed as public domain in the US, unless a copyright notice is included. Thus, we usually do not keep e-books in compliance with any particular paper edition. We are now trying to release all our e-books 1 year in advance of the official release dates, leaving time for better editing. Please be encouraged to tell us about any error or corrections, even years after the official publication date. Please note neither this listing nor its contents are final till midnight of the last day of the month of any such announcement. The official release date of all Project Gutenberg e-books is at midnight, Central Time, of the last day of the stated month. A preliminary version may often be posted for suggestion, comment and editing by those who wish to do so. Most people start at our websites at http Gutenberg. Netter HTTP. Promo. Net page. These websites include award-winning information about Project Gutenberg, including how to donate, how to help produce our new ebooks, and how to subscribe to our email newsletter free. Those of you who want to download any ebook before announcement can get to them as follows, and just download by date. This is also a good way to get them instantly upon announcement, as the indexes our catalogers produce obviously take a while after an announcement goes out in the Project Gutenberg newsletter. HTTP www.biblio.org/pubdocsbooks/gutenberg/etext/04/etext/03020/10/99/98/97/96/95/94/93/92/91/90. Just search by the first five letters of the file name you want, as it appears in our newsletters. Information about Project Gutenberg, one page. We produce about $2 million for each hour we work. The time it takes us, a rather conservative estimate, is 50 hours to get any ebook selected, entered, proofread, edited, copyright searched and analyzed, the copyright letters written, etc. Our projected audience is 100 million readers. If the value per text is nominally estimated at $1, then we produce $2 million per hour in 2002 as we release over 100 new text files per month. 1240 more ebooks in 2001 for a total of 4,000 plus. We are already on our way to trying for 2,000 more ebooks in 2002. If they reach just 1-2% of the world's population, then the total will reach over half a trillion ebooks given away by year's end. The goal of Project Gutenberg is to give away 1 trillion ebooks. This is 10,000 titles each to 100 million readers, which is only about 4% of the present number of computer users. Here is the briefest record of our progress. Asterisk means estimated. Colon, ebooks year month, 1971 July 10, 1991 January 100, 1994 January 1000, 1997 August 1500, 1998 October 2000, 1999 December 2500, 2000 December 3000, 2001 November 4000, 2001 October November 6000, 2002 DECEM MBER asterisk 9000 2003 NOVEMBER asterisk 10000 2004 JANUARY asterisk. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation has been created to secure a future for Project Gutenberg into the next millennium. We need your donations more than ever. As of February 2002, contributions are being solicited from people and organizations in Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. We have filed in all 50 states now, but these are the only ones that have responded. As the requirements for other states are met, additions to this list will be made, and fundraising will begin in the additional states. Please feel free to ask to check the status of your state. An answer to various questions we have received on this. We are constantly working on finishing the paperwork to legally request donations in all 50 states. If your state is not listed, and you would like to know if we have added it since the list you have, just ask. While we cannot solicit donations from people in states where we are not yet registered, we know of no prohibition against accepting donations from donors in these states who approach us with an offer to donate. International donations are accepted, but we don't know anything about how to make them tax deductible, or even if they can be made deductible, and don't have the staff to handle it, even if there are ways. Donations by check or money order may be sent to Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation, PMB 113-1739 University Avenue, Oxford, MS 38655-4109. Contact us if you want to arrange for a wire transfer or payment method other than by check or money order. The Project Gutenberg Literary Archive Foundation has been approved by the U.S. Internal Revenue Service as a 501c3 organization with an employee identification number 64622154. Donations are tax deductible to the maximum extent permitted by law. As fundraising requirements for other states are met, additions to this list will be made, and fundraising will begin in the additional states. We need your donations more than ever. You can get up-to-date donation information online at http://www.gutenberg.net donation. HTML? If you can't reach Project Gutenberg, you can always email directly to michaelshart@pobox.com prof. Hart will answer or forward your message. We would prefer to send you information by email. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.